Christians call unreached people groups. That's people who have never heard the name of God, or no one's ever talked to them about it.
You're essentially born to go to hell if no one reaches you and talks to you about Christ, and you cannot be saved. So,
Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely, I am with you always, to the very end of the age."
Hello, hello, and welcome to Question Christianity, where I'm your host, Jay. And with me, I have my partners, Rix and Crazy K. How are you guys doing today?
Doing well. How are you?
Super fantastic. Rix?
Hello, I'm doing great. It's good to be here.
On today's episode, we're going to be discussing unreached people groups. So, give you some background. Last Sunday, our pastor invited, what was that guy's name? Okay.
Dr. David Nelms.
Yes. He's in charge of the TTI, which is the Timothy Initiative, right?
Yeah.
And they are tasked with working in Africa and Southwest Asia, Southeast Asia. Where do they work? Do you guys know? Somewhere in Africa, I'm pretty sure. Definitely Africa, but I'm not sure if Southeast Asia is one of their areas. And they map out entire sections of countries where people are what Christians call unreached people groups. That's people who have never heard the name of God, or no one's ever talked to them about it. And then they also have UUPGs, right? Unresponsive or something like that. Unengaged or something, unreached people groups, where they don't know nothing other than what they do. So, to give you some background, an unreached people group, according to the Timothy Initiative, they live their whole lives either worshiping false gods or no God at all, and they die, and they are eternally separated from God. And so what we're going to talk about is how can we reconcile with that? Oh, sorry, that was my ring phone, my ring camera. But how can we reconcile with something like that when you're essentially born to go to hell if no one reaches you or talks to you about Christ and you cannot be saved? So that's where we're going to start off with. So what do you guys think about it?
I think that's Bueller. I think this is a tough one because, I mean, you're basically questioning, I guess, the character of God, in my opinion. Like, is he really a good God? Can God be a good God if he can make some unfair things happen? So this is a tough one.
I had thoughts that were, I was more so focused. I like the idea, of course, of, you know, when they talk about the unreached people groups, and more so less overseas, but I wanted to focus on like those that are already in our community as well. And I was thinking about like, I don't know, it kind of, I know it's not a missionary, mm-hmm. but, and I like their version of it where they are recruiting the natives of those areas and they're training them up, and it's not like the typical way of a missionary. But from my point of view, I think it goes also back to like faith, but it's like, we can't see the work being done, right? Like these people coming to Christ, which is fine. But I think there's still important, there's individuals out here with like that we're neighbors with, we go to work with, that are also unreached people groups.
So would they really be considered unreached people groups? And the only reason why I ask that is in America, the Bible is the most widely available book for free,
yeah.
right? So I'd be hard pressed to believe that 99, like even 1% mm-hmm. of America says, I've never heard this name, God, Jesus, yeah. or anything. Especially when in every major city, there's a church nearly on every corner, right? Yeah. There's a cross, and then you go to the South, there are crosses everywhere. Mm-hmm. So you can't, it's good. Yeah. Unless you're real, like, in Alaska or Northern Canada, you know, in the Western Hemisphere, or, you know, in North America, it's, I'd be hard pressed to believe
that no one's heard
at all. Mm-hmm. You know, if you listen to the radio, you are going to accidentally land on a Christian radio station.
And even like award shows now too. That's like yeah. Maverick City.
Oh yeah. Yeah. And, yeah. And so you're gonna see that. Mm-hmm. So I gotta say, Americans don't really have an excuse. Yeah. They really don't.
I guess I came from it from a different perspective because okay. I was thinking in the terms of those who basically aren't believers, but unreached people groups is those, like you said, is not, they've never heard of Jesus or
right.
Christ at all.
Because for people who, right, exactly. So people like who have heard the name Jesus, now you're responsible for that. You know, and people are going to like, people have walked up. I've had many believers walk up to me. Do you know God? Yes, I do. Thank you. You know, and I keep walking, but you know, but if you know, can I talk to you about Jesus Christ? Have you heard of him? And people are like, nah, pass, you know, and you never do anything about that. That's held, you're held accountable to that. So you can't, and then you're standing in front of throwing a judgment. You were like, well, no one told me this. Oh, well, let me rewind this for you. And here's the kicker. We as believers are given numerous chances to know God. And so now we're talking about people who have never known the name Jesus. And you're here to tell me that they are going to go to hell because we didn't catch him quickly enough. There goes Rick's messing with the mic already.
No, it keeps creeping down. Mm-hmm. See, he doesn't want to hear the truth.
That's the enemy.
There you go. Distracting us. So
what's the question?
So what I wrestle with mm-hmm. is I don't want this to sound like I'm questioning God because, you know, I'm a believer, I'm saved, and I'm good, right? So thankfully, because I do deserve to go to hell and be tortured by a drill and blowtorch. I honestly believe that. That's how badly of a sinner I was. No, seriously. Yeah, so I understand the importance of salvation. I really do. You know, and we talked on this briefly in our salvation episode, but it really brought home when the Timothy Initiative showed us about a 3-minute video. They showed us one person after another, after another, after another, whether they were somewhere in Southeast Asia because they were Buddha idols and that sort of thing, and some were Muslim, and some just didn't know at all. Like there's this one girl who died of tuberculosis, not knowing anything about God ever before the missionary could get there. And they're saying that she will be forever separated from God, but she was never given an opportunity to know him. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So how do you reconcile something like that? I get it. If you've been exposed to it and then you still tell God to kick rocks, that's on you. that really is. But if you don't know nothing, and I get it, ignorance of the law is no excuse, but how is that? How do we, that should give us a sense of urgency, obviously, but I know it's not fair, but how do we, because I'm sure there are plenty of people who are thinking exactly what we're talking about, right? So how do we get, you know what we should do? We should bring our pastor in here and have him talk about it. I know he's busy, but because it's difficult for me to accept a just God. Well, okay. I'm not saying it's difficult for me to accept the just God, but the fact that a just God would just let people out there hanging, because then you're literally given no chance. You born, you live, you die, you go to hell. You see what I'm saying?
Yes, and to be clear, I'm not sure if I saw the video, but are you saying that on the video, so someone that was in an unreached people group died from tuberculosis?
Yes.
And so...
she was a young one, too. She young, well, young compared to me, I guess, but she was a younger lady.
And so...
Probably looks like about Kate, Crazy K's age, right around there.
Okay.
Our age.
Our age. Thank you. Thanks, Crazy. thank you. Okay. And then it was said that, like, she is forever separated from God, which basically means...
You're either with him or you're not with him. So, like, so we know.
Torture and gnawing of teeth.
Yes.
Okay. You know, I have a problem processing that as well.
Yep.
And nowhere in the scripture does it end, because let's think about this. When Jesus came literally on the scene with his ministry that only lasted 3 years and some change, right? Mm-hmm. There were other societies operating throughout the entire planet in Africa, in Asia, the Chinese, the Japanese, the Filipinos, the North American Indians, the Central American Indians, the South American Indians, the Alaskans, whatever. Mm-hmm. You had people all over the world at that point. Mm-hmm. They didn't know anything about Jesus, and they wouldn't know anything about Jesus for centuries. Some for right. thousands of years. So every single generation since then mm-hmm. goes to hell. Do you see what I'm saying?
Right.
Right.
so. Right. And so it makes me think, I don't know, I mean, we're just talking it out.
Right,
like,
right.
So it makes me think of... Jeez. Okay, like, you know, the Jewish faith and like how in the New Testament when the lady at the well, mm-hmm. when she approached Jesus and Jesus was, she didn't know it was Jesus and she was like, we worship on a mountain. And he was like, you don't know what you're talking about. But like salvation was first for the Jews and right. then everybody else. Mm-hmm. So it makes me think originally like BC before Christ was salvation only for the Jews.
So I remember reading, and that question has come to me many times. And the term, I remember speaking to, was he a rabbi? I don't remember. He told me about the bosom of Abraham. Mm-hmm. I guess that was for all the Old Testament saints, that was a holding pattern for them mm-hmm. before Christ could then... reestablish that bridge between humanity and God. So that they were sitting there. Now anyone who wasn't in the bosom of Abraham was in hell. You know what I'm saying? All the bad guys were in hell. That remember that was when hold on a second. We'll be right back. So I need to check this story. Give us 2 minutes.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, we're back in Question Christianity. We had to go get an expert because we're all kind of, you know, we're struggling here. And our concern is we don't want to lead people astray or turn the other way. So we went to our pastor. We call him Pastor Daniel. He is clearly an expert in the word. And so I did put him on the spot, and I am very gracious for you to come out here, sir, and explain to us the knowledge that you have regarding the relationship of God and unreached people groups, sir. So, go ahead.
All right. Well, thank you very much. I'm honored to be on the podcast with you all. The question I understand is what happens in the unreached people groups? What happens to people who haven't heard the gospel?
Right.
And can we just you know, all these tribes for all these years in all these jungles or in all these nations where Christianity has not spread, are we just supposed to assume that they all die and go to hell? Right. And I think that there are different opinions by different pastors and missionaries over the years. For me, I was very moved by Romans chapter 1. And in Romans chapter 1, we read verse 18, "The wrath of God is being revealed from heaven against all the godlessness and wickedness of men who suppress the truth by their wickedness." And, you know, one of the things that comes along with this is the whole question of salvation in general. You know, why why would good people go to hell is kind of the question that comes along. Sure. And as we understand the scriptures, as you begin to study the Bible, you begin to understand that, quite frankly, it's the wrong statement, the wrong question. There are nice people. There are people who are friendly. There are people who are, you know, good to get along with. But when you talk about good versus evil, there are no good people. By that, what I mean is we are all sinners. And the question is not why God would allow a good person to go to hell. The question is really why God would allow any of us to go to heaven.
Sure.
Because the fact is, according to the scriptures and according to a simple observance of humankind, the wickedness that runs through the human race is absolutely diabolical. And I know people listening to this might think, wait a minute, I'm not diabolical. And I know that. I know you're probably a nice person. You're probably a good person, probably a friendly person. But the fact is, when you get down to the heart and the soul of a person, we all are born into sin. And that sin must be justified. It must be redeemed. It must be paid for. So this scripture opens up talking about the wrath of God.
Okay.
It's kind of part of a larger theological discussion, if you will, in that from the very beginning, you know, God made perfect paradise for Adam and Eve.
Mm-hmm.
And yet Adam and Eve, tempted by the devil, sinned.
Mm-hmm.
And when they sinned, they broke that communion between God and humankind. And many of us through the years, certainly me when I was younger and more arrogant,
mm-hmm.
I would look at that and think, daggone it, why wasn't I there? I wouldn't have done what Adam did. but then I look at my life and I see all the times, not just back then, but today, all the times that things, you know, trigger me, upset me, make me angry, and my opinion of people,
mm-hmm.
right? Especially when I'm watching sports, my opinion of referees is not something that I would repeat on the air here. we are all sinful people.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, and I'm sure all the folks driving in the snow yesterday downtown Chicago getting to work, if they thought they were good people, they probably didn't think they were good people by the time they got to work.
Yeah.
Because it brings out the worst in us.
Mm-hmm.
And all of us at our core are sinful beings. And so when we look around the world, we look at people, in different people groups, you talk about the unreached people groups, the UPGs or the UUPGs,
mm-hmm.
the unreached, unengaged people groups of
unengaged,
the world.
Unengaged, that's what it was. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Unreached, unengaged people
right,
groups.
Right.
That means there are no Christians there.
Okay.
Unreached means it's only like 1%
mm-hmm.
Christians. Unreached, unengaged means there are no Christians that we know of.
Okay.
And I understand there are over 7,000 unreached people groups in the world yet.
Wow.
That have never heard the gospel, that have never heard the good news of Jesus. And the fact is, what's crazy about that is just 5 years ago, it was 12,000.
Oh my.
We are making remarkable progress.
Mm-hmm.
All the missionary, there's the group of 20, I think they're called. There's 20 large missionary agencies,
mm-hmm.
including the Timothy Initiative, which we support very heavily here at Woodlands, that have combined their resources, and have basically identified, and all these 7,000 plus unreached people groups now have someone who has actually taken that name of that group and said, we're going to reach mm-hmm. these people.
Okay.
So the reaching of all the world, as Jesus talked about in Matthew 24:14, is coming far faster than any of us can imagine. And of course, Jesus said, once the whole world knows, then the end.
Right. And especially with Starlink, you'll be able to get the internet to most of the known inhabitable continents of the planet. So it's not like you won't have an internet connection to read the Bible either.
Absolutely. I mean, I've been in Kenya, I've been in Nepal, I've been in India, I've been in Thailand, many places up in the hills, and people are still living in huts
mm-hmm.
and wearing grass skirts, if you will, mm-hmm. but they got a cell phone. Okay. Absolutely true. 21st
century technology.
It is so interesting. But when we look at the wrath of God, we all deserve the wrath of God.
Okay.
And it was Jesus dying on the cross that took the wrath of God for us.
Okay.
When Jesus prayed in the garden, "May this cup pass from me," the cup means the cup of wrath.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And so when we look at unreached people groups, we look at people that have, you know, not heard the gospel, there's a couple things we see. This passage continues, verse 19, "Since what may be known about God," so what may be known about God is plain to them. That's to everyone, everywhere, because God has made it plain to them. Verse 20, "For since the creation of the world," so going back to the very beginning, "God's invisible qualities, his eternal power, his divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood from what has been made, so that men are without an excuse." Now, this is what theologians call the teleological argument. It's basically the argument of nature. When people look out at the beauty of nature, and so many times people who have never, you know, irreligious people, you know, look at a sunset and go, "Whew, I don't know that I believe in God, but man, when I look at that sunset, I think, you know."
You start leaning in that direction.
Yeah. Who did that?
Right.
Who did that? And so what we find when missionaries travel, and I was a missions pastor for 10 years, where I rubbed elbows with a lot of missionaries and traveled all over the world. And what we find talking to missionaries is that oftentimes they show up in these unreached people groups. And in these groups, as they start talking to them about Jesus, you'll hear them say things like, "So that's his name."
Mm.
"We've always known there was a Savior."
Oh,
"We've always known there was a God, but we didn't know his name."
Okay.
And they will have stories of even to the point of a God, you know, the great God that they worshiped, who actually, you know, back way before time, way before, you know, the story's been passed down from generation to generation by what they call word of mouth.
Right.
When things are passed down by word of mouth, sacred things, it's not like here today where, you know, we tell people things and it becomes like the telephone line, right? Where you tell one person something, by the time it gets around to five people, it's been completely distorted.
Right.
There's actually a sacredness to sitting around the fire and telling the stories of old.
Mm-hmm.
So these stories were very sacred, and it was very, very important that they told it exactly the way that it was told to them. And Don Richardson was the missionary. He's a missionary I heard talk, who went to an unreached people group in a very remote village in Indonesia. And he was way back in the, you know, in the jungle.
Mm-hmm.
And he worked with these people. And he was one who told the story that they had a, and I don't have that name off the top of my head. I've got a book where he talks about it, where they had a deity that they believed in.
Mm-hmm.
And it wasn't just the typical animism. Animism is where you worship all the animals and all of the nature and all of the leaves and the trees and the spirits. But see, the thing is, when you worship like animism, they're all of the gods are evil.
Okay.
I mean, when you worship, you know, in so many of these tribes and such, there's so much fear of the gods. And what makes Jesus so different is when we talk about Jesus, we talk about love. We talk about not one who wants something from you,
mm-hmm.
but one who came to do something for you. And in any religion in the world, Jesus is the only one who can make that claim.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, you don't get that from Muhammad
mm-hmm.
Or Allah. You don't get that from Buddhism.
Mm-hmm.
You don't get that from Hinduism and the 300 million plus gods
of
Hinduism. Even in Greek mythology, I mean, the gods were to be appeased,
mm-hmm.
you know. But God so loved the world, our God, our Heavenly Father, what the Jewish people call Yahweh,
mm-hmm.
so loved the world that he gave his only son. So that wrath of God, so to say, comes because of the sin, because God is holy.
Mm-hmm.
And because he's holy, he can't have sin in his presence.
Right.
So it took Jesus to die on the cross to appease that wrath, so to say.
So one thing I want to ask before I let you go, because I know you're very busy. We pulled him from
his sermon. I have questions too.
Well, I'm first. I'm the host, so I get to go first. So.
Right.
Lock the door, Kim.
Well, that's where the salvation comes in. You have to, you know, peace, mercy, and all that. No, seriously. So from that passage, my question, am I to understand that an unreached people group who understand that there is a God, but they don't know their name, would that be enough for them to get in heaven? I know you probably don't know that answer.
Yeah.
And I don't want to put you in a spot where you have to answer that question, but I know people are going to be listening to this. Now, people of the West, I told the girls, I was like, people of the West, they ain't got no excuse. There's no, the Bible's the most widely available book, you know, for free.
Yeah, but it's the best-selling book of all time.
Yeah.
By far.
So, but an unreached people group like that girl in the Timothy Initiative video who died of tuberculosis, you know, didn't know anything about God, was unreached, had no idea. Would it be enough for her to recognize the fact that there is a God, I don't know his name, to go to heaven?
Great question. It's a great question, and it's a very difficult one. It's one that's been debated, you know, for centuries.
Yeah.
And I certainly don't have the final answer.
Sure.
On that. However, I do think that from what we understand from the scriptures, for example, Jesus says in John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no one comes to the Father except through me.
Right.
So, can someone in a far off distant land, could they have been saved because in their heart, like it says here, you know, in his divine nature, it's been made evident.
Right.
You know, I mean, people who spend their life, they wake up, they know there is something bigger, you know, than them.
Right.
They know that there must be a creator.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we see all the creation. If you see all the creation, well, that means there's a creator.
Right.
You know, I mean, if you see a piano with all of its intricacies, you know there's a piano maker.
Right.
Right? I mean, it didn't just come about because of some storm and you know, some flying of, you know, trees
So it didn't evolve from a tree to a... to a bench, to a piano.
Yeah, I mean, we know there's a creator because of created things,
mm-hmm.
and so yes, there are people, and this is definitely debated amongst you know, Christians. What I would call evangelical Christians have very different opinions. Evangelical just means that we believe in the Word of God.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I get frustrated when people try to make evangelical a political thing, because
sure.
It's not. It's just it just means that you know, Christians who believe that the Bible is the Word of God. But even people who would both agree that the Bible is the Word of God do have different opinions. Some would be pretty hardcore and say, no, until they have received Jesus Christ as their Savior and Lord, the answer is that their destiny is hell. I have heard other missionaries who equally believe the Bible is the Word of God. They'd look at verses like Romans chapter 1 and like the John 14:6. You know, Jesus makes it clear that he is the way, the truth, and the life. Now, sometimes we can get caught up on a formula,
mm-hmm.
right? You know,
right.
you got to pray in the name of Jesus.
Right.
It is Jesus who saves us,
right.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
But in Philippians chapter 2, when the Apostle Paul writes, at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. I remember my my seminary professors, graduate school professors, saying that the key to that verse is Christ.
Yeah.
You know, because Jesus was a very popular
right.
name,
right.
you know, in the first century among Hebrews. It's still a very popular name,
right.
Jesus,
right,
among Latinos,
right.
Hispanics. It's the Christ that it counts.
Right.
It's the although we love the name of Jesus and we pray in the name of Jesus, which is very appropriate because we know who we're saying, but... So does somebody, you know, I've just heard missionaries, and I've not experienced this firsthand, but I certainly have heard missionaries who have said, you know, we've talked to people, and boy, I tell you what, they didn't know the name, but they somehow knew the story.
Mm-hmm.
And I wish I had off the top of my, it's been a while since I've looked at this, but there are stories amongst unreached people groups that would just absolutely blow you away
mm-hmm.
in terms of how close it describes the gospel story.
Okay.
Thank you.
Oh, no problem. I'm a giver.
Thank you. You are. You know what? This makes me think my opinion would be that those who are exposed to like God's, his earth, his creation, would go to heaven. This is just my opinion because, I mean, there's a step missing, but it makes me think about Paul or Saul when he was knocked off of his horse.
Okay.
And then he was like, what do you want, Lord? Or who are you, Lord? It was like, how do you know like who it was? Like, cause you were unbelievable. You know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah.
Okay. So there's awareness there. So it makes me think like for those who may be in the unreached people groups who look at God's creation and has that, you know, they recognize it. It could be a like, who are you, Lord, type mm-hmm. of moment mm-hmm. where they don't know the name, but,
right.
you know.
But they understand, for lack of a better term, the job function of that God, you know.
Yeah.
So, and Christ is in a last name. That's a title, right? That's to mean son
exactly.
of God. So
exactly,
so,
Savior, yeah.
So, what, you know, so thank you, Pastor. I appreciate that because with that, that gives us hope and not confusion. I do
yeah, and
that.
To be sure, mm-hmm. to be sure, because of human nature, many, many, and probably by far most of the unreached people groups are very violent and
right.
very savage.
Right.
You know, it's you know, survival of the fittest. You know, it's anybody that's not in your tribe, kill.
Mm-hmm.
We saw this in Central or South America.
Right.
You know, we had missionaries as recently as the 1960s from America who were mm-hmm. killed,
right.
Speared to death.
Right.
They actually were here in Illinois. They actually were missionaries out of Wheaton College in Wheaton, Illinois.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay.
And it's gone on to be one of the most incredible stories
mm-hmm.
To come out of that, and how the very people who speared to death one of the missionaries that and I'm blanking on his name. Nick Saint was one of them, but there was another one. Jim Elliott was his name.
Okay.
He was speared to death. His wife Elizabeth actually returned to that tribe and led the chief who speared her husband to death to Christ.
That's a true Christian, because if I was coming back, I'd be back with a gun.
Yes.
You remember me? I got something for you. Okay, I'm just being honest, you know. I mean, I didn't say I was a perfect Christian, but that is an astonishing story.
It really is.
You know,
yeah.
So.
It really is. And that's how much Christian people over the years have believed how important it is to tell people about Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
Now, there are, I mean, and, you know, there's a whole long history of this. And there are some denominations today who have become very lukewarm, and they actually quit sending missionaries really 100 years ago.
Oh, wow.
But in the meantime, other Christian organizations have actually picked it up
mm-hmm.
and said, you know, no, we've got to, if other denominations aren't sending missionaries, then we better send even more,
okay.
because everyone has to hear. Everyone should have a chance to hear.
Okay,
because God's building a family. The whole reason is because God's building a family.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
God wants a family in heaven that represents every tribe, every tongue, every people,
right.
every nation.
Right.
We are one race, the human race,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But we are multiple ethnicities.
Mm-hmm.
When Jesus said, "Go into all the world and make disciples,"
right.
that word "world" is actually the word "ethne."
Oh,
and
really?
It's the Greek word for ethnicity.
Oh, I know that.
We get ethnicity. And so the Bible, I'm yet to find a verse where the Bible used the word race to designate groups of people. It's always ethne or nations or people groups. And God's building a family. He wants every tribe represented in the kingdom. And that's why every tribe has to hear.
Okay.
And that's why we talk about unreached people groups, because there has to be somebody representing every tribe. I mean, what's God's reasoning for that? I don't know, but it sounds pretty loving to me.
Okay.
Sounds pretty loving to me that he wants every single nation on earth, every ethnicity represented in his family in the kingdom.
See, I told you guys we bring the expert, the scholar in to educate us. So if you got any questions, you reach out to Pastor Daniel. So, well, we don't want to keep you, sir. We know you're very busy. Do you have any closing remarks? Does anyone have any questions before we move on with our podcast or take a break? No? Nothing?
We can take a break.
Hey, I say we take a break. You don't tell me what to take a break. Don't tell me what to do. All right. Thank you, Pastor. We're going to take a break and we'll be right back. You look. Okay, and we're back. Once again, we want to thank our Pastor Daniel for educating us on unreached people groups and the, what was that?
Unengaged.
Unengaged mm-hmm. unreached people groups. Yeah, so ultimately, we do have hope because I'm sure many of you were thinking, how can you serve a just God to just send people who don't know who he is to hell? And what was that scripture reference again, Crazy K?
Romans 1, verse 18.
Okay, Romans 1, verse 18. So if you ever have any doubt about an unreached people group, and based on what Pastor Dan said and the information that he laid out very clearly indicates that, yes, there is a probability. We can't say yes, but, you know, there is hope for those individuals who have not been told his name or not know him, but they understand essentially his job function. So with that, and as always, there's hope. So, I've been Jay.
Rick's Crazy K.
And we'll see you next time. Be safe.
And we'll see you next time. Be safe.